Couple quick announcements. Next week, we originally said there may not be a share. The yeshiva is on with winter vacation. But my feeling is, correct me if I'm wrong, not everybody in this room is going on midwinter vacation. So I think the plan is we're going to try to have a share. I hope to confirm it earlier in the week. The exact times, davening time might be different. There's no yeshiva. So that's firstly. Secondly, I'd like to welcome everybody to the share today. In particular, I have to welcome my great uncle, Mr. Aaron Schwartz, came from New York, smart man, and visiting his children and grandchildren here in the neighborhood, the Rubens, and we welcome you and hope you enjoy your stay. Today's share is different than the average share. The yeshiva today is having a tribute dinner, memory in honor of Rabbi Sharfman, and the kavod, which hopefully will be generated by that, would be a schus for Rabbi Sharfman, chizuk for the family. But I figured that here in the shir, which he started, and which carries his name, it would be appropriate to also have a tribute. I was trying to figure out, I was grappling with, how do you make a tribute? My original idea was, okay, so I'll give a share, I'll give over one of his shiurim. So I'm Dov Kos Bekever. But in all honesty, there are many weeks I say things over Rabbi Sharfman. And really, if you want to listen to the shiur in entirety, you can have it. Go online, find the shiur. Also, I do no justice. He does a much better job of saying over his shiur than I do. So, I was grappling, how do you give a tribute to such a person? So I came up with an idea, which I'll explain in a moment. But basically, I would like to give not a hesped, but a halachic appreciation of his life. To go through the man and what he stood for, and we could glean many halachas, many practical halachas, but more than that, just the general view of halacha, which would be beneficial to us all. It was definitely beneficial to me in researching it, which wasn't easy. There were a lot of people I tried to get to, not everyone. But Bez Hashem, it should be a schus and Eloi for his neshama. I'd like to begin with the Gemara in Baba Kama. It's on top of your sheets. Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, they covered Asalo b'moso. They did covered for him in his death. This is referring to Chizkiyo HaMelech. Chizkiyo HaMelech Yehuda, she yatsu lefan of shloshim v'shisha elf chalutzei kesef. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Basically, they had 36,000 people who were involved in mourning over Chizkiyo HaMelech. Amalei Reb Nechemya, Alofnei Achav also came. The Gemara challenges, hey, they did this for Achav. Achav wasn't viewed as a great hero in Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately not. But he also got, he was a popular leader, and he also got 36,000 people mourned his death. So what, that can't be the covenant he did for Chizkiyo HaMelech. Ella the Gemara says, She'niku Sefer Torah mitaso. They left the Sefer Torah on his mita, va'amru kiyam zeh ma'ashikasa b'zeh. They poetically said, this man kept what it says inside this Torah. The Gemara asks a question that seems like this is something special that we did for Chizkiyo HaMelech. V'indonami avdinin hachi. The times of the Gemara, they said they did this also for great Talmid HaChachamim. The Gemara wants to see, Chizkiyo HaMelech was a giant in the history of Judaism. So if we're doing this for people, even in the times of the Gemara, we're also great what we did for Chizkiyo. So the Gemara first says, Afkui mafkinan anuchi lo anchinam. That we would take out a Sefer Torah But he wouldn't literally place it there on his mita. That's one answer the Gemara gives. Thank you. V'ibayseima anuchi nami manchina. Even if we put it down, we'll put a Sefer Torah, the Gemara is talking about a contemporary great gadol passes, we'll put a Sefer Torah on his mita. But kiyam lo amrina. We won't give this speech that this man kept what it says over here. That was special for Chizkiyahu HaMelech. That's the background, the first part of the Gemara. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Havyazina Mahadi to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah Shemaisa. Rabbi Bar Chana was following Rabbi Yochanan to ask him a question. Kavi Ayla Beis Akise, when he was going first to the bathroom, Vayibinu Ne Milsa. Well, Pashitlan, he ended up not answering the question, Ad Mash Yadi, until after he washed his hands. Umeniach Tfilin, that he put in Tfilin, Umevarech, Vahada Amrulan. Only after all this did he answer. And he said, Afilu kiyam amrinan, limud lo amrinan. You know what? Even if we'd say about somebody, an added chiddush, even if we'd say about somebody today, in the times of the Gemara, that we put the Sefer Torah on his mita, and we would say kiyam zem ashakas bezem. But we wouldn't say he taught Torah like Chizkiyahu. We'd say Kiyam, but we wouldn't say that he taught Torah, like learned Torah, like Chizkiyahu. The Gemara challenges that. Amar Mar, Gadol Lima Torah, Shal Lima Mevi Udei Maisa. Lima the Torah is great that it brings to action. Now, how to learn this Gemara is a little tricky, a little complicated. We're going to start with Rashi's Pshat. Rashi learns from this, there's a one line Rashi there. I didn't put it on the sheet because Tosis quotes it. He says, Alma Maisa Adif. I guess they like to share. I guess there's no rebbeim there. But Rashi learns the Gemara that if we say, Gadol Lima Torah, Shal Lima Nevi De Maisa, how do we understand that description? How do we understand that description? Limud is great. That limud brings to Maisa. If learning Torah is so great that it brings to acting and doing mitzvos, which one's the ikar and which one's the tafel? Simple way to understand the Gemara, which Rashi's understanding, it must be that doing mitzvos, Maisa, is greater than limud. That's why the Gemara is saying, Gadol Limud Shemevil De Maisa, that doing actions is greater. And therefore, according to Rashi, the Gemara's question will be, what's this big shvach you're saying? By Chizkiyahu HaMelech, by regular people, even in the days of the Gemara, we said, Kiyam Zem Ashikasa Bezeh, that their Kima Mitzvos was great. But by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the Gemara is saying, we're saying a step further, he learned. Frek the Gemara, what do you mean? Learning is a lower madrega than doing mitzvahs. So what's this added praise for Chizkiyahu HaMelech that he learned? That's how you learn the Gemara's question according to Rashi. To which the Gemara answers, Lo kasha halamigmar har gemure. There's a difference. That which we say, Maisa is greater than Limud, mitzvos are greater than learning Torah, that's on the individual level. But somebody who has a schos to teach others, that learning Torah supersedes even Maisa. So the simple reading of this Gemara, according to Rashi, is you have three levels. The basic level, the lowest level, is just learning Torah by yourself, for yourself. The next level is putting your Torah into practice, is Maisa. And the highest level, and that's what they're talking by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, was that he taught Torah to others. Those are the three levels according to Rashi. There's a Tosfos over here. It's on your sheets. Tosfos brings Rashi. Va'amar mar gadol lima Torah shemevil de Maisa. Perish v'kuntras. Alma Maisa adif. We see from this statement that action is greater than learning. The kasher lor benatam. Benatam says, I have a question. The Adarabba, just the opposite. Me'acha Dayik so Parakama Kedushin. From here, Medayik at the end of the first Parak in Kedushin. Limud Gadol Mimaisa, that we learn actually from this statement that learning is even greater than action. Gabi Zakadim Shalim Besubim Baalios Beis Nitza, the Lud. Zakadim were sitting in the place in Lud. Venisha She'ela Zubifneim. Limud Gadol Mimaisa Gadol. The Gemara in Kedushin, there are debates. What's greater, learning or action? V'nimnu kulam, they did a head count. V'amru limud gadol shemevi l'dei ma'isa. The Gemara says, we learn from here, that learning is greater than action. So Tosis is asking on Rashi, how could you say that the baseline, the basic, it goes limud, and then action, then mitzvah and ma'isa? No. The Gemara in Kedushin says, Limud HaTorah is greater than doing a mitzvah. How do you understand it? It's a strong question that Tosus asks in Rashi. And Tosus therefore redefines our Gemara. V'amar Rabbeinu Tam d'halchi peirusha. This is how you have to reinterpret this Gemara in Baba Kama. V'amar Marashe Limud Mevul Dei Maisa. Limud brings to Maisa. Of course, Limud HaTorah is greater than Maisa. So what's the statement that Limud HaTorah brings to Maisa, to mitzvahs? The Kivan Shanu Omrim Kiyam, if we say about somebody that he did mitzvahs, Hare Anu Omrim Shalimud, it's inclusive of us saying he must have learned. Di Lo Shalomud Hekiyam. If he didn't learn, how could he keep mitzvahs? The prerequisite, if you see somebody that keeps mitzvahs, it must be he has some degree of a Torah Jewish education. How else do you know how to do it? And that's what it means. Shalimun Mevilu Dei Maisa. And he goes on to explain the second half of the Gemara. What then is the Gemara's question and answer? But a major machlokas, Hash Pshat here, between Rashi and Tosos. How do we qualify Limud HaTorah, mitzvos? Rashi seems to learn this Gemara. Limud HaTorah is on the baseline. Above that is mitzvos. Above that is teaching Torah to others. But Tosus argues and says no. Limud HaTorah always trumps mitzvos. Always. Mitzvos are the baseline. Above that is Limud HaTorah. What does the statement mean? Gadol Limud Sha'al Limud Mevi L'dei Maisa? Is that look. When you see a person doing a maisa, you see a person doing a mitzvah, it's a simon, it's a proof that it must be he learned Torah. Because else, how do you know else? Didn't know how to do it. That's the basics from Rashi and Tosus. What I'll say over here still needs added explanation. Firstly, Rashi, Tosus has a very good question in Rashi. That is one question here. But even within Tosus's pshat, what's the significance? Okay, it's true. A person can't perform mitzvos if they didn't learn. But, okay, but why do you have to emphasize the fact that a person is learning? And this is like the proof, Gadol Limud, that this is the proof why Limud HaTorah is so great. Limud Mevi Dei Maisa. We say learning Torah on its own is greater than Maisa, greater than a mitzvah. So what's this point that Limud HaTorah is great because, look, it's a prerequisite. You have to learn Torah to keep it. So that's a question I think one would ask on the Gemara. I happen to find an amazing, deep answer. He doesn't write inside this piece if he's coming to address, to explain Tosos. Well, I know it could be he thinks he's saying Pshat and Rashi also. But I found in a sefer by Rav David Cohn, Shlita of Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rosh Yeshiva of a big Chevron Yeshiva. Right now it's considered one of the most prestigious yeshivas in all of Israel. David Cohn is a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he has a sefer, Mizmor Masoda. Inside the sefer, he brings a fascinating thing. He found once in a Torah journal the last actual Musar Shmuz that the Altar of Slabodka said before he passed away. The Alter Slabodka is known as the father of all the yeshivas. This yeshiva itself traces its roots back to Slabodka and many others. And Rabbi Aaron Cutler was a Talmud in Lakewood, Yigal Kamenetsky, Tov Das, Rav Rudiman in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Huttner in Chaim Berlin. All the yeshivas really trace their lineage back to this ultimate pedagogue, the Alter of Slabodka. So his last shmooze, very poetically, Rav David Cohen writes, this is like the last will and testament of the Alter of Slabodka, his last shmooze. Last will and testament. For the record, I found inside the Alter shmuzim are recorded in the 3-volume set of Sfarim or Atzafon. So there's a shmuz that's similar to this inside there. But he's talking about this Gemara, this concept. Look what he writes. He writes, Talmud Gadol Shenevi L'Dei Maisa. Adama Lo Meid Amanas L'Asa. So a person learns Torah, obviously with the intention of keeping mitzvos. Gado Mailas Limudo, his learning is so great. Shemevi Lamaisa, his learning brings to action Umaisa Gado Yosem and Limud. And his actions are greater than just learning. The Inakavana Shalimada Torah, who Hakshir Vachana Greda Lamaisa Nelam and Limud. Don't read, which might be the simple Pshat in Tosas, that his actions or his learning is a prerequisite, is a preparation for him to keep mitzvahs. No. Elosha Maisa hu Mahus Shel Torah. His actions is the essence of Torah. Ukshem Shel Limud Torah b'machshava hu Torah b'machshava. Just like a person could learn Torah, could think Torah. So he has Torah thinking in his mind. V'limud b'dibur hu Torah b'dibur. A person who speaks Torah, that's Torah with his speech. Kaka Maisa Kim Mitzvah Shumi Mushal Shel Torah Hu Torah Atzma. When a person does a mitzvah, that's a physical manifestation of Torah. You have Torah in your mind when you think. You have Torah in your power of speech when you talk Torah. I assume you have Torah in your ears when you listen to Torah. But when a person does a mitzvah, a mitzvah is a manifestation of Torah. That itself is bringing Torah in a different level into the world when you perform a mitzvah. Very fascinating, deep idea. And he says further, "Ve'ein adom akiyam mitzvah shel Yehudi hamakayim es mitzvah rak mikoch yedioso es chovos l'kayim es mitzvah." If that's so, you can't compare what you call the average Jew doing a mitzvah, which is a wonderful Kiddush Hashem, bringing Torah into this world through an action. The difference between a Talmud Chacham, who's a Baki, who's an expert in every nuance of a mitzvah, umekayim es mitzvah l'fi yedioso es haTorah, he's mekayim his understanding of Torah when he's doing this action. He turns his kima mitzvah into a clear manifestation. This is live Torah, right here in front of us. Skipping a few lines, he says, "Afichas mitzias sefer Torah, machshavas adam b'Torah, sefer Torah, dibur shel adam b'Torah, sefer Torah, ma'isakim a mitzvah shel adam is a sefer Torah." These actions of a Talmud Chacham, it's true about anybody, but a Talmud Chacham is on a different level because he understands the clarity and the nuance of halacha. So his action is 100% Torah. Very, very interesting, deep idea from the Alter Slabodka. And that's what we mean, Gadol Limud, Shal Limud Mevi L'dei Maisa. Limud is so great that it brings to Maisa, because that Maisa of learning, of performing a mitzvah, is in a certain sense greater than just thinking in Torah, speaking or listening to Torah. You're showing the world it's a physical manifestation of your knowledge of Torah. Fascinating idea. This is so, I think this is a good backdrop for what I would like to do this morning. What I'd like to analyze is Rabbi Sharfman himself. I think there's a lot to learn from him. Especially, you see this idea that a Talmud Chacham, his mitzvos is literally Torah in this world. And there's a lot to learn in general from his actions, and his more in general, his appreciation of halacha. So I came up with 10 different points that myself or by talking to others about Rabbi Sharfman, and I'd like to go through these 10 points and what we can learn from them. First and foremost, first concept is watching halacha, which is really a spin-off, most directly, of the idea we just mentioned. I asked Rebbetzin Sharfman, did your husband ever tell you what he... Rabbi Sharfman loved halacha. He clearly had an affinity. He enjoyed teaching halacha, learning halacha. Where did that come from? So she shared with me a beautiful story. Rabbi Sharfman's father, Zal Gesund Sein, Rabbi Benjamin Sharfman, me and my generation, we owe him lots of credit. The Pentateuch Chumashim, which I studied, the Hebrew English with Rashi, that I studied for so many years, you know, before Chumash Test and Yeshiva, before Art School came along. Those Chumashim he wrote literally probably 80 years ago. 70 years, a long time ago. Anyway, so he was a Rav in Bensonhurst, which in its prime, now again, it's a big Jewish community, but his prime was a big Jewish community too. And at that point, Rabbi Sharfman, when he was growing up as a younger kid, didn't really have so many friends in the neighborhood. I guess by then already, neighborhood was going the other direction, and there were mostly older people in the community, not younger. And he didn't really have any friends in Shul. So he was a good kid. So instead of running out to play, you know, to play with, he stayed in Shul the whole time. And he constantly watched his father and watched what went on during Shul. And he saw all the nuances in halacha, what comes up, especially if you hang out around the Rav in Shul. And he picked up an appreciation for halacha just by hanging out in Shul, watching his father interact as being the Rav. And that itself is, you know, a beautiful idea. You know, many of us, you know, we have different situations. Baruch Hashem, this is a Torah community, Torah communities here in South Florida. Torah has grown tremendously in South Florida over the past 30, 40 years. And there are many, Luban just made this point the other night by a Hespet, there are many Talmidei Chachamim around that people can learn from. And watching a person, the way he acts, of course, watching a person's sensitivity and midos is something to learn from. But what we're focusing on today specifically is halacha. You see a Rav do something, most of the time, you could take from there, that's halacha, this is how to do things. And that itself is a limud of halacha, what to do. So that's how Rabbi Sharfman himself got started. And really, people in this room who had the schus of seeing Rabbi Sharfman for many years, you understand what I'm talking about. He's a person who displayed halacha. He himself was a walking display. He was Torah mevi le'maisa. And you see in action, that's something you could keep, it's something you could learn from. One idea. Second idea, like Mordechai Palgan told me, he remembers from years ago, Bacher years, definitely the Kol years, Rabbi Sharfman was an absolute baki in Hilchos Tefillah. You would not catch him missing a halacha. He was an absolute baki for decades in Hilchos Tefillah. I happened to find that Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer Orchos Yosher, and over there in Tefillah, he brings down what is the most important halachas one should learn. You had a choice, okay? I want to start a 5 minute seder in halacha. Where should I start from? Chaim Kanievsky writes over there, you should start from Hilchos Tefillah. Because think about it. Tefillah we do, Baruch Hashem, 3 times a day. It's the most basic of our halachas. Stern says, more than Shabbos, more than other obscure halachas. Tefillah is something that we do clearly 3 times a day. And the first and foremost area a person should have time to learn, extra things to learn, start with Hilchos Tefillah. Rabbi Sharfman himself did that. And that's something which we could all gain from. The more we know of Hilchos Tefillah, things come up all the time. We know the answers. Third area. This I'll spend a few more moments on. Rabbi Sharfman's understanding halacha was so vast and so clear. He even knew very obscure halachas. Halachas that a common person doesn't know, or I dare say, the common Rav doesn't know. Rabbi Sharfman knew. And I'd like to share just a few halachas. You know, most people, you know, especially in the middle of the day, you come to run Chapa Mincha. So you come into Mincha, right, in a shul, sometimes you're in a boardroom. Milchos can take place anywhere. Did you ever know about the halacha that there's a specific inyan that one should sit down for Ashrei by Mincha? You're specific? No, we all know, yeah, Ashrei is something you do when you sit. Baruch Shomer, you stand. Shtabach, you stand. Ashrei, you sit. Okay. But practically, come on. How many times have we walked into a Mincha, just stood through, you know, Ashrei? You know, if we're lucky if we walk in the beginning of Ashrei. But assuming we walked in the beginning of Ashrei, right? Then you're supposed to doubt to sit. Take a chair and sit down. There's an inyan to sit for Ashrei. How did I know this halacha? I must have missed it when I learned Mishabrua. But I remember one time, it was a halacha after davening. Rabbi Sharfman said this one over. I'm like, really? There's a halacha in Hilchos Nefilas Hapayim, Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, over there in the Mishabrua Sukkot and Tes. He's talking about Tachanun. And as we say Tachlin, we're falling over. So he writes, L'fishes spalinu b'chol inyan sheyucho adam l'spal, in the back of your sheets. Person should daven in all forms that he could daven. Be yeshiva, uvamida, uvanefila sapaya. 3 ways we daven. Number 1, by sitting. Number 2, by standing. Number 3, by falling. 3 different forms of how we daven. Shenemar quotes Pesukim for all these. The Eisha Bahar, the Anochi Amadati Bahar, the Esnapa Lefnei Hashem. Each one sitting, standing, and falling. U'mehachar she'in banu koach l'spal b'din acher. Hey, we don't have the power to daven any other way. Anu omer v'anachal l'nina ma'nasa. Okay. Rabbi Sharfman says, by Shachar it's much easier. Shachar, we're sitting for multiple things. Berachos Kriya Shema, we're already sitting, hopefully. But Mincha, that's the smallest gap that you have. By Mincha, you could ask about Ma'ariv, about Tachon. We don't do Ma'ariv. We don't do falling by Ma'ariv. But by Mincha, Ashrei is the element of Tefillah that you sit for. Shemona Esrei is obviously what you stand for. And Tachon is your falling. So even in Mincha, you have it encompasses these 3 angles of sitting, standing, and falling. They're all different ways to connect with Hashem. And if we don't do it, we're missing out on that element. So that was the understanding, that's the idea of sitting for Ashrei by Mincha, specifically. Fascinating, right? I assume, but then by Ma'ariv, right, this also comes up. You know, you buy a dinner, you buy a wedding. And unfortunately, many times you're diving in a hallway or something. Ideally, really for Birchas Kriya Shema itself, it's brought down that Kriya Shema is supposed to be said by sitting. But besides for the covet of Kriya Shema itself, but to fulfill this idea of the multiple aspects of davening, one should sit. Very interesting. It's one obscure halacha. that I learned from Rabbi Sharfman. Second one, which I'm not sure I should put in this category, really the next category of Dikduk B'Halacha, but Rabbi Sharfman told me in the later years, she noticed that her husband, by a meal, they would pass around Mayim Achronim. Mayim Achronim is an Indian, it's brought down in Halacha. And the average Mayim Achronim is a nice little tchotchka you bring back from Eretz Yisrael, right? And it's a little cup you wash. Rabbi Sharfman, very clandestinely, no one would see this. He would, you know, get up, get his hat or something. He'd walk into the kitchen and he'd wash Mayim Achronim by the sink. What? Why didn't he wash by the table? Everyone else is here. He's passing around the Mayim Achronim by his table. So there's an Indian. It's a Bir Halacha in Kuf Pei Aleph that is questionable. How far do you wash from Mayim Achronim? The basic idea is you just wash up to your first knuckles. But the Bir Halacha does bring from a Gra that there is an Indian to do the whole top area of your fingers, the whole fingers. Really, it also talks about the idea of doing a Revius. So in the little cups, especially when he'll hog all the water, he ain't going to work. So he, very quietly, would sneak into the kitchen, wash, go back. No one knowing any difference. That's also halacha. Most people don't know it. But it's a halacha and something he kept. Another idea that is a Beferish Shulchan Aruch. We're not talking about Mishabruah. Beferish Shulchan Aruch. I also, probably most people don't know of it. In Hilchos Brachos, there he talks about saying Kaddish. Simen Nunvav. Sif Dalad writes, Ukshomer Achazin Yizkadel. And the Chazin, or for really this matter, anyone who's saying Kaddish says Yizkadel. Kore, he bows. V'chein B'Heshnei Rabba, he bows. V'chein B'Yisparach, he bows. V'chein brichu, he bows. V'chein amen, he bows. Literally, when one says Kaddish, the average person, you know, look, there's a lot to focus on when you're saying Kaddish, especially the multiple people in the shul. Everyone has to try to keep together. A lot of times, a person saying it once, a couple times a year for your time. It's a lot going on. So don't make yourself crazy. But there is a halacha here in Shulchan Aruch. The way to say Kaddish is it's supposed to be bowing at different points. Not just at the end of Osa Shalom Bim Romov, but when a person says Yeshme Rabba, when he says Yisgadel, it's supposed to be a certain bowing of it. It doesn't have to be a full prostrate yourself fully. But bowing your head, that one should do at all these different points. For the record, I remember my Rebbe, the Rishiva of Benach Leibowitz, he would say Kaddish, he would do this. Perhaps that's where he learned it from.
Do you do that even if you're in the davening from the Amun?
Yes, yes. You do this whether you're davening for the Amun or whether you're saying your own personal Kaddish. Really, one should bow by each of these things. Again, this is obscure halacha.
It doesn't say that in the
article. Right? We'll send him another letter. Where's my legal counsel? But it does say this in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is something that Rabbi Sharfman did teach people to talk about in yeshiva, something that one should do. And one last one, also obscure halacha. Rabbi Sharfman says she remembers by her son Yaakov Hill's bar mitzvah. They had speeches, whether it was maybe it was Shabbos day, and some Suda. Who was the first speaker at the Suda? Now, I wanted to ask other members of the family if they remember the lineup of exactly who the other speakers were. But she remembers that Mr. Minkus, Olav HaShalom, was the first speaker. Mr. Minkus was somebody who was very close to Rabbi Sharfman, came to his Shabbos afternoon share for years. And Mr. Minkus was the first speaker. Why was he the first speaker at Yaakov Hill's bar mitzvah? Some of the other chashuv people there too. The answer was because he was a kohen. Rabbi Sharfman wanted, Amar says, Poseach Tchila. A kohen doesn't just get the bench. It's a schus of a kohen that he says, if someone, he's going to speak, he should be the first one to speak. Was it you? No.
I don't think he was.
But that's what I was told. But you look, Rabbi Sharman gave a whole share about the Kiddushah, the importance of practical mitzvah of honoring Kohanim. I let you give the first comment. But he wants the last word, not the first word. But L'maisa, that's another obscure halacha, not usually on people's radar, something Rabbi Sharfman did. So that got me through my first three topics. Watching halacha, Baki and Hilchos Tefillah, and knowing obscure halachas. The fourth idea, Diktat B'Halacha, obviously is something, a warning before I begin this, is this is not necessarily something for everybody. You know, everybody, their diktuk and halacha is relative, you know, to your stature. Everyone's expected to do, be medaktik and halacha to the fullest degree. But Rabbi Sharfman was somebody that definitely was very medaktik and halacha. And I heard of his stories. You know, when he would purchase Dal Minim, it wouldn't be 5 minutes in and out. He would invest lots and lots of time in purchasing his Dal Minim. Heard of a story that years ago, before a lot of the local popular now Mochre Dal Minim existed, there weren't so many people around. He used to go to Torah Treasures in Miami Beach, find his Dal Minim. And he literally went through every single set, every lulav, every esrog in the whole place, that by the time he was finished, the mocher, the owner of Torah Treasures, was so thankful. He categorized all his stock. This is sug aleph, this is sug bet, sug gimel, top of the line, basic, not so great.
He adjusted the price.
He helped him out quite a bit. But he just knew everything backwards and forwards. He knew the whole stock. He did the guy a tremendous tova. He was also somebody, he was so careful. His wife said she remembers the story. How they was once able to get a jeweler's loop, those special precision, I don't know what you call them.
Magnifying glasses
to look at an esrog. He was so excited, when he got one. Obviously, that's diktat B'Halacha. You don't need that. Look at it, some might say you shouldn't even use that. But he was just so happy. Now I can do the mitzvah a drop better. He was beside himself. There is another situation I was told of when he made Pesach. So you have to kosher your kitchen. So you have to do a Haggalah. And he was discussing it with another Talmud Chacham, different things to do. And the Talmud Chacham came to me and told me that, most people, when they ask him a question, they'll just, this is the question, here's the answer. That wasn't Rabbi Sharfman. He wanted to understand how exactly the process works. Not the short answer. He always wanted the longer answer because it's something he wanted to understand it. That's an important lesson too. To the best of our abilities, we have to be careful. Sometimes you ask a postic a question, he'll spit back an answer. What's the reason for it? Hang up the phone. But they're busy and they're not necessarily interested in giving a share on every psak halacha that they give. But we're available. Right? Sharp with somebody. I'm learning, I have to do Haggalah. I don't just want the answer. I want to understand the process. How does it work? Next area I'd like to talk about, and this is something which, till now, for the most part, are things which talk about the individual. Now, I think we're getting more close to the share. Rabbi Sharfman, the way I would define it, is he lived halacha. In what sense? Very simple. That when he experiences circumstances in life, he obviously viewed them through a halakhic perspective. And he was like a kid in a candy shop. Wow, look at this situation in front of me. Look at the five shilohs and halakha that it contains. Oh, wow. And he would always like, wow. I'm not sure what came first. I assume on some level he enjoyed halacha, he saw this, and he focused on it. But also, once you're giving a halacha share, you're constantly looking for material, what I'm going to give a share on, and you see something in front of him, ooh, this is a good halacha share. Boy, did I strike gold. I'll tell you a story. I have 7 examples of this. He gave a share. I remember when I went through the list of finding Shirin. Right? But Sharpman gets credit. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but I'll spell it out even more. Now, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, there are Shirin that are somewhat similar to this. You know, it's halacha, sometimes connected with the parsha. It's a common thing in the world today. But the array of topics that Rabbi Sharfman gave is not common. Right? You can't research many of the topics that he has online in another share. It just doesn't exist. One of the Shirin, which I have yet to see, exists because Rabbi Sharfman himself and put it up. How to deal with on Shabbos when you are walking or living through a rainstorm. Anyone who lives here in South Florida knows it's going to be a couple times during the year at least. You're walking home on Shabbos and you just get soaked. Now what do you do? Rabbi Sharfman himself must have had this, must have seen other people. And he was dealing with, okay, what do you deal with? Your clothes are wet. Is there schita issues? Stepping on things and getting the water out. Can you hang up your clothes? What could you wear to protect yourself? It's an amazing share. I listened to the share last night. One of the stories he says was hilarious. He says, one of the Rebbeim Yeshiva, I didn't have a chance yet to find out who it was, their married kids were here over Yontif, and they're walking home one day, Yontif Shabbos, and they got soaked. It was pouring rain, they're walking, weren't prepared. Florida happens in the moment, and he's soaked. As they're walking home, a guy is driving down the street. I hope it was a guy. A guy is driving down the street and sees this couple getting soaked. Stops his car. No, it didn't offer a ride. He knew, I guess, that they were Jewish. This. Goes to his back, opens his trunk, takes out an umbrella, and says, here, opens the umbrella, gives it to them. And they're like, uh-oh, what do you do now? And first they try to explain, you know, oh, this is not ours, we'll know you. Here's the word, keep the umbrella. What do you do? Are you allowed to use an umbrella that someone opened for you on Shabbos? Interesting. All right? This is one, life happened to Rabbi Sharfman or people around him, and he made shirim about this. Phenomenal. He had a second share. Bottle caps, this Rabbi Shaffron told me. Bottle caps, nowadays, all types of products have different types of bottle caps. The bottle cap we have nowadays on an orange juice is not the same way you opened the orange juice 20 years ago. That's not the same way that other companies have those little schmitschicks in the middle. Soda bottles have one. Snapples have another. All different types. You get a nice seltzer bottle with those old metal caps. Wine bottles. There are so many different caps. And if you want to talk about what could you open on Shabbos, it's complicated, many different things. So Rabbi Sharfman told me, he remembers how Rabbi Sharfman came to share one day with like a dozen different caps. Okay, let's go through one by one. Here's the halacha. Here's the basis. How do you do this one? How do you do that one? He lived halacha. It was something, he saw the bottle cap, this is a new shiloh. This cap is not exactly the same as the other cap. Oh no, they changed their caps. What do we do now? But he lived halacha, and okay, let's practice it. What should we do? Another case. And this one is quite practical. Somebody said they just used it this week. Eretz Yisrael. This, the guys in yeshiva were beneficiaries of too, is that before he went to Eretz Yisrael, he always went over all the halachas pertaining to Eretz Yisrael, some of which are the halachas of Tirin Kriya and seeing the Makom HaMikdash. And he worked out exactly the halachas, how to Tir Kriya. He worked out, he had a path. What's the best way the first time to go to the Kosel? How should you go about? Which way should you go? Going through all the halachas, you tear on Ari Yehuda, the Teron, Makom HaMikdash, how to do it. He worked it all out. He had a path. I remember one of the boys was saying, he wished, you know, he marked down exactly the way Rabbi Sharfman walked the streets, you know, to get to the coastal the first time when he visited there. But he went on the trip. The trip was all about, okay, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So most people, okay, work out all your arrangements, your hotels, your rental cars, your this, your phones. Rabbi Sharpman, I have to work out all the halachas. That's my prerequisite. A fourth area. Baruch Hashem, last year, he discussed that his second daughter, first child was a boy. They had a pigeon of Ben. Now, your daughter, not that old yet, but your daughter has a kid. What's the first thing you do? Grab a cigar. It's a boy. Right, Sharfman's first thing he did, he ran to the Sfarm store. I have to get Sfarm on Pigeon on Ben. I'm having such an opportunity. Pigeon on Ben doesn't happen so often. You know, many factors. Some families, it can take decades, generations, to still you see a Pigeon on Ben. A Pigeon on Ben is happening. He ran to the store, bought some Sfarm on Pigeon on Ben, sent one to his son, the guy I have with two. That's how he lived. Halacha. Pigeon Aben, a new boy is born. Now is a chance to brush up on the halachas of Pigeon Aben and Bris. His wife also told me, fortunately, even up to the last time, he gave multiple shirim over the years in hospitals and being in a hospital on Shabbos and halacha with that. His wife told me, he was there in the hospital the last time, he had a notebook. He was taking notes of Shabbos now coming up because he was in the hospital. Amazing. Mamash Ara Yoma Akra. He was somebody, he was in a hospital, but he's learning halacha. Things are happening around me, things are happening to me. I have to know what the right thing is to do. Traveling. Rabbi Sharfman, for his job in yeshiva, but also you live in Florida and you have relatives in New York, you end up traveling quite a bit. He knew the halachas of traveling backwards and forwards. The zmanim went to daven, went to say tefillos aderes. You know, when could you eat? I remember one time he was on a flight with other Jewish people, and he was so upset. How could they eat before davening? It's the zman of davening. How could they eat? You know, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know. These people are, you know, they don't know what time the zman is. See where they're flying and. You know, the students are bringing breakfast, you know. You're on a plane, you get it.
He gave an unbelievable shiur on international datelines. I don't know how many people were here, but it was hilarious because, you know, the problem of traveling to China and missing Shabbat, and he says, his final advice was, if you're dati, don't travel
China in that way.
You know, be close to Shabbat. Because the halakha, like several miles apart, is different from one part to the other.
Amazing.
Amazing. I'll never forget that because, you know, in the end, you know, there was no practical solution except don't travel.
Don't travel close to Shabbos, to China.
It was unbelievable.
Excellent. I really appreciate it because, for the record, I'm giving a share similar to this afternoon. And the more impact, whether right now in the share or after the share, people remember more stories that fit these qualifications, the more material I get. And that's a perfect example. Beautiful. He knew traveling. I don't think he ever traveled to China, but he understood traveling so well. He had all the halachas. He saw all the issues in front of him. Things that other people didn't see, he saw. And finally, in this area, one more is on Pesach. On Pesach, there's so many halachas, so many things to do. One of the things that are tricky are the shiurim of measuring all the amounts you have to eat for matzah marah. So what's easier nowadays is they have these charts. Okay? So many families, they have the charts, they have a few of these charts, pass them around to everybody, everyone does it. It wasn't Rabbi Sharfman. He was so into these things. He sat there in Erev Pesach. He measured out ahead of time portions for everybody. Here's your matzah, here's your marah, here's your this. Put them all away. And this way, everyone will be ready. Don't, you know, sometimes it's harder for a person to sit there and measure it. You know, he's going to measure for everybody. He did it all by himself ahead of time to prepare. Just practically, he saw the situations unfold. He lived halacha, and he gave shiurim and enlightened all of us by the world which opened up around them. Another aspect, which also we saw very much in the share, the clarity in the process of halacha. Another topic. In his regular share, how was his share structured? Started usually from a pasuk to the Gemara, to Shulchan Aruch, through the post and through the ages. He gave you such clarity in the process, really, from Moshe Rabbeinu, Adi Yom Hazeh, of how he got here, of all this halacha. And that's a tremendous clarity one gains. Okay, person says a halacha share. It's a much clearer halacha share if you understand the whole process. And I know this also firsthand for putting these things together. Many times, you know, to prepare a share, you have to really prepare multiple things together. Just the art, even if you didn't say any chidusha, but the art of putting things together is something. Kishulchan Aruch, just set before this, then this, then this, then this, then this. It's tremendous. It's something you don't appreciate, but really there's a lot of chachma that goes in just to be mesaderet, just to put it in order. Rabbi Winter pointed out to me an amazing idea. He remembers one particular case of something involving schach, and there were poskim or mat or something. And Rabbi Sharfman sat there, and he says, you know, 20 years ago, no one said this. And it hit Rabbi Winter, I give him credit. He said, Rabbi Sharfman had an appreciation for halacha, which in a certain sense was historic. He wasn't somebody who forgot things. He had a good memory, and definitely was very dear to him. And I'll put it this way. He was a fan of halacha. Might have been a fan of the Yankees or the Mets, I don't know. But he was a fan of halacha for decades. And therefore, when you said a svar in halacha to him, buddy, I knew 20 years ago they were saying the svar, but it was rejected by those poskim. Now all of a sudden they're saying it? The bar that he had for halacha was something, you know, most of us, we have a new shayla, okay, we look at it fresh now without any prior knowledge because we don't remember, even if we did, it could be many times we didn't research it before. So every shayla is a new fresh shayla. By him, he kept track, he kept notes. 20 years ago, they weren't saying this. I remember personally, I was I have a shayla with my son. My son's a lefty, a righty, and buying the phone for him. You know, my son is pretty cool. He went through the back of the baseball cards. There's not a single current Major League Baseball player that's like my kid. My kid throws with his left hand, but bats with his right hand. There's not a single Major League Baseball player like that. And I had a whole shout with my kid, which hand's going to put the phone on? So I discussed the shout with multiple Polskin, and I happened to have a conversation with Rabbi Sharfman about it. And one of the psukim I got, it was one of these type, now in retrospect, it was one of these type of situations. Rabbi Sharfman said, I'm not sure 20 years ago they were saying exactly this. You know what? I think you should ask somebody else. He had the perspective of how these shilohs were poskened over time, and he hears something a little different. I'll tell a couple more. There are a couple of famous stories here in Yeshiva, Rabbi Sharfman on the battlefield. There's one famous story, I'll leave the name out, but he's known as a huge, huge Magid Shir in Halacha and Yerushalayim. Rabbi Sharfman once brought the boys in Summersman, we were in Eretz Yisrael, he went to the Shir, hundreds of people at the Shir. Person started saying something. Rabbi Sharfman did not like what he heard. And he had guts, and he challenged him in the middle of the Shir, questioning of a rough posik psak, and followed through afterwards, and like the guy in the yeshiva, that's my Rebbe. there's a story someone told me over here in the neighborhood, someone came in to speak about the Alminim just a couple years ago, started saying something about Sharfman in the back of the room, he said, I'm not sure, I don't think that's true, and the person said, you don't know, that's what Mishabura says. Sharfman just went to the shelf, pulled out Mishabura, and showed him, no, that's not what it says. His clarity in halacha was crystal clear that you weren't going to pull a fast one on him. Finally, I would like to skip a couple topics here. I want to add three quick things. One of the last three is you looked at his shiurim, not just you looked at his shiurim, you looked at how to prepare for his shiurim. There wasn't a sefer across the board which he did not use in his preparation and understanding halacha. And this is very unique, because there aren't so many people that could be a baki in Torah written from while you rabbanim to Hasidish to Sfardish, everything in between. He studied every plausible halachic psak on something, understood it, respected it, and used it. It's very special. Another aspect, which is pashut, but it's not so pashut, is despite the fact he was somebody who was a tremendous Yari Shemayim, and we touched on a couple of the dictums in halacha that he did, which, yeah, most people are not staying there 5 hours, many hours, looking for Da'al Minim. Many people are not talking about all the ins and outs of Haggadah. So he had tremendous Yari Shemayim. But at the same time, he was so normal. Sometimes a person's Yari Shemayim and his dictum halacha could take over him, and he just becomes, you know, caught up in his halacha. That wasn't him. One example that his own wife shared with me was one year on Rosh Hashanah, mistakenly it was put out on the table, nuts. And there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael that egos is the gematria chet, and one shouldn't serve nuts, Rosh Hashanah. Everything we do in the night of Rosh Hashanah is for simon, and someone put it out. Instead of embarrassing the person who put it out, he said, don't worry, it's not a problem. Chet is also the gematria chet. If you would embarrass somebody, that's an avera, and that's also a chet. And you got to have the whole perspective. He was somebody who was perfectly balanced. He knew what to do. And finally, I think they have a quote of me of saying this on the dinner video, but I want to give a little more explanation. Ever since I began giving the share, I constantly be harassed and questioned by so many different people in the neighborhood. Wow, I can't believe you're giving the share. Oh my gosh, it must be so hard to prepare so much. And like, constantly these comments. Okay, I get it. You know? But the comments are coming from all the different rabbanim in the community. Kolo people, shkolos, rabbanim. How can you do that? Give a share? Like, wow, so much. And I had to hear it something. That now, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Torah today in South Florida. It's good to hear. I have to make sure I share it. But I never realized that one person's share could just uplift the level of Torah in the community. One person. There is such respect from everybody across the board, that he gave such a share on such a high level every week. The people who came want to hear not just, okay, another Daf Yomi share, another simple share. People who are dedicated and coming to this share. This is a challenging share. It's Mar Makomos. And to make the market share each week, give a new topic, new thing. It was something that just raised the bar that something like this exists in the community. And something like that just uplifted the whole Torah of the community. The Rabbanim were amazed. Such a share exists in our community. And rightfully so, you know, Dar Dar, it should carry Rabbi Sharfman's name for doing such a thing. Tremendous Chavos' Torah. And it's a lot of respect for everybody who comes week in and week out. They hear halacha, they hear a share. Not so simple. Complicated many times, but it's something which is a schus for the whole community. Thank you very much.